It's written in the book of the Ari. The Tree of Life is actually the main book of the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Just by the way, there are two books in the wisdom of Kabbalah. The book of Zohar, which is in order to draw the light to us. It's a force that can change us. And that is what is called a remedy. Just like a baby that yearns to grow, and it does different actions even without knowing what he's doing. But from that tendency of his, then he activates these inner forces, and that's how he grows. And that's how we are as well. We don't know what we're doing. With all of our intellect, with all of our talk, ahead of us is something unknown. However, if we activate ourselves according to the recommendations of the Kabbalists who have already been through this path, then we feel ourselves changing. Only with a baby, these changes are good. He's constantly in an adventure. And he feels good since he's constantly in a single nature, in the same nature. He is pushed forward by his ego, and he constantly fulfills it and feels it more and more and more. And of course, on the way he receives blows, disappointments, but the ego immediately pushes him forward, and that's how he advances. For us, it is much more difficult. We need to acquire a new nature, opposite from our nature. Instead of receiving, we need to bestow, to give. I don't want it, I hate it, I'm afraid of it, I don't understand what it is. I'm prepared to do anything, I'm willing to do anything except for that. That's why there are very little who come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Only those that this desire, this lack awakens for it, and they're pushed forward, they're pushed by this other force which awakens in them. Not the egoistic force, the force of Malchut, but the force of Bina. It is not yet the force of bestowal, but it's a beginning, and that's why it's called the point in the heart. And then we know that we're brought to contact with the source of it, and we develop. It's not simple at all, because we come to a group where we have to start connecting amongst ourselves, annulling our egos. We have to see how we can advance above it towards connection, towards love. And we don't want to hear. And it takes a few years maybe until we start hearing that the realization is specifically through connection. And beforehand, we don't hear it. And when we begin to hear, we don't agree to it. We don't want it. So it's clear that the first years, they pass by in a very lively manner, in the groups, each one with his ego, And each time it increases. And if in one's regular life, then each one would find himself a place in the group, how to get by. Like we do in every place we are, in our workplace or other places. But here, when we come to the group, the ego deliberately, with a point in the heart, it builds between us these frictions. And these frictions really bring sparks to emerge. So it turns out that our society, our environment, is many times much more worse than the regular environment, and we don't understand what's going on. It's like, where have we come to? In work, with the relatives, or just anywhere in the world, people somehow are able to find a mutual language, a common language, in a correct manner. But in the group, it's impossible. And it's natural, because we're shown more and more to the extent where in our nature, our corporeal egoistic nature. And if we don't look at it correctly, observe this correctly, objectively, from the side, in order to see this enemy from the side, not that the ego is in control of me, but I can see it from the outside. I look at it, I observe it, how it works on me. If I don't discern between the ego and myself, like a scientist that researches nature and sees what you can do with it, then it is very difficult. People are unable to come out of this nature of theirs, and they remain in it for many years. That is why we need to make an effort to see ourselves, our current selves, from our point in the heart. So we're observing from our point in the heart, our heart, and our heart is our entire ego. And then we'll be able to see what's happening. We'll be able to see how the Creator, the upper force, the force of nature, how it works on us, how it plays us, how it cheats us. Just like we do with little children. In order to grow them to be wiser, in order them to have to observe life from many different angles. And when we see ourselves from the side, and we study ourselves, then we arrive to the wisdom of Kabbalah. And that's the second book, in addition to the book of Zohar. It's called Etz Chaim, the Tree of Life. And that is the other source of the wisdom of Kabbalah. And our entire study is actually based on these two. We learn the study of the Ten Sefirot, which is an interpretation, an explanation for the Tree of Life, and of course many other articles around it, which explain how to approach the material. and the person's approach to the wisdom of Kabbalah is that he's willing to do anything besides what it demands, what it requires, to rise above his known nature to this second nature. The book Etz Chaim starts with very beautiful words. It's written before the emanators were emanated and the creatures were created. There was the upper light, the simple light, fulfilling all of reality. Only the upper force, the force of nature, the general force, this single force, that's it. Before the creatures were created. And when they were created, the light disappeared gradually on the 125 degrees that the creature was formed gradually. And accordingly, the upper light disappeared. It's like in this cone. The more the creature grew, became more egoistic, became coarser, to the same extent, the upper light disappeared and disappeared and disappeared. Until our world, until the state that there are only the creatures, and all that's left of the upper light is this tiny force which revives them. And so what's happening here? Why do the creatures disturb the upper light from appearing? Since that's our entire life. He's eternal, complete. Why aren't we capable of feeling him, being part of him? So Kabbalists tell us that it's because of our nature. That's why we're called creatures. In Hebrew it comes from the word bar, external, outside of the light. That our nature is entirely to receive. And by that, we put out that light. Instead of allowing it to flow through us simply in a transparent manner. How can we do that? If we'll pass this light through us from one to another in such a way that no one holds on to it, no one keeps it or absorbs it for himself, but he takes for himself only what he needs in order to exist and in order to participate with everyone else in this same transparent system. And this is the system of our desires. And we do it with our desires. This living body of ours is no disturbance. It doesn't even refer to it. It talks about how I, with my desire, want to absorb, to stop, to swallow up. These thoughts are what stop the light. And the moment we cancel these thoughts, we feel ourselves in an eternal world, in this other tendency, which is above matter, limitless, in harmony, complete harmony. And that is actually what we need to reach. That is why our entire work in these days, in our gathering, is that we need to make an effort to feel ourselves inside as transparent and connected. And it's unimportant that we're not capable of doing so yet. It's like little kids. We just have to play with that. That is called, I've exerted and I've found. It's a very, very strange condition. Because usually, we are people, serious, grown-ups. We're not small kids. We're not naive. We know that I do a certain action according to plan and I reach a certain result. And the wisdom of Kabbalah includes in it all the different wisdoms. It explains about the whole of reality, including our own simplest, smallest world. And it talks about something so strange, this condition which isn't even a law, it's like this magic. But no, that is actually the law. It's because we transfer from one nature to another nature. That's why this law is written as it is. That if you follow certain conditions with your exertion, with your laboring, from your current state, if you gave your inner exertion, your inner effort, then you discover the next degree. You reach, with your inner potential, the state which you enter the next degree. And it is all according to that law. So, although it is called, I have found, but you found because beforehand in your ego you couldn't see it in advance. You couldn't feel, you couldn't describe it. But all of these degrees on the way down in this cone that you rise back up, they measure exactly your exertion, your findings, your exertion, your findings. And that's how you rise. That's why today we need to make an agreement, a gentleman's agreement. We are making an inner effort by gathering here today in order to make an effort to try to connect, and each and every moment it's certain that each one will feel great disturbances and rejection and forgetfulness. But it doesn't matter. That's a sign that I have not yet reached. I haven't given the complete measurement of exertion which I need to give, and I have to return constantly and return to that very same state. Like start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. Entrance and exit, entrance and exit. And the more frequent they are, the more they are, the higher the frequency. That's how we'll advance faster. The quality of our work depends on that. Like even in technology, we can see how the higher the frequency you work with is, then the devices are of high quality. And spirituality, well, the Rambam, that's Maimonides, from the a great Kabbalist from the 11th century, he writes that spirituality is above the speed of light. It wasn't even known then that the light has any speed before Einstein and before all those theories. And still, that's how it is. We need to rise to this high frequency. So, one, we need to take upon ourselves this game to constantly make an effort to be transparent, to connect in the points of the heart of ours, and to check each and every moment, is that the way it is? Can I connect even more and more? The moment that we'll do that work, that is the spiritual work. And that's how it is until the end of correction on all the degrees that we rise through. There is exertion, finding, exertion, finding, exertion, finding. And that's always how it works. Only on higher degrees, it's more difficult. As it is in our life. But alongside with that, when a person reaches those high states, he begins to feel more and understand more. But in addition, he's more confused and he's weaker, meaning the work is constantly against the ego. It's written in the Zohar that the students of Rabbi Shimon, there were altogether 10 students with him, and they built something amongst them, the greatest vessel, the purest vessel, and that's why they were able to discover the entire upper light through the connection between them. So they write that when they begin to study, just on a regular day, they feel themselves that they hate each other. They hate each other to death. And this talks about people who are already in spirituality. But they're only beginning to their exertion for this degree, and they need to rise above it. And that's the sensation they have. Then they begin to study, to work on themselves, to hear. Then there was nothing written, so they listened to what Rabbi Shimon said to them. They worked on the connection between them, on this purity, what we call the transparency, on the connection between them, that they started arranging themselves, structuring themselves into one kli, into one vessel, in connection with each other. And then they began to feel the flow of the light between them, how it passes from one to the other, like in this circular motion. And as a result, they begin to awaken to the sensation of the world within them. We, by the way, think that there is something external to the person. That the spiritual world is out there. Spirituality is above the clouds, behind the galaxy, maybe further out of our world, or maybe outside of the universe, above this sphere, and there is a spiritual world. On the other hand, we say that the spiritual world is inner. So what? It's inner, inside. What's inside here? Except for flesh made bones. And you've probably heard that the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us about the correct perception of reality. That everything is inside the person. And outside of him, there is nothing. And that is why we need to discover our inner kli, our inner vessel, that the more I connect this reality within me, so it's not only by connecting to 10 people or 50 or 2 million like we are, but to the extent I'm able to be connected with all of humanity, the way it seems to me as it's outside, then I begin to do it with people, then I reach the animate, then the vegetative world, then the still world, and I suddenly begin to feel that all of these things are depicted within me. I depict them within myself, and it's not something that's happening outside of me. To the extent I refer to them as one, all of them connected to me, a part of me, then I begin to penetrate into this inner reality, deeper inside. Then the bodies disappear, and the desires connect to me, and I begin to feel this world more and more. This image, as Baal HaSulam explains in the introduction to the Book of Zohar, that the entire world, the entire reality, is actually depicted within me, and there is nothing outside. But it's like this puppet show that is just playing these qualities, these forces, these my inner elements. And it's nothing that's outside. That is why we need to understand that this slogan, love of others, which is very far, distant, and we have a negative relation to it, doesn't even seem realistic. It is actually to bring the person to a state that he'll return to the true reality. It's not like in the egoistic world of ours, that I'm an egoist and he's an egoist and we need to love each other. No. I, by loving the other, I connect to him. By that, I connect to myself, that very same part that in my imagination it seems detached from me. And then I return to the true perception of reality. That is called attaining the upper world. Of you. We're still going to talk about all these things. I'm just touching these subjects so that we'll start aiming ourselves correctly, because it all depends on the intention. There are many people who study Kabbalah. There are those that turn the name of Kabbalah into, you know, anything that doesn't even relate to Kabbalah. The wisdom of Kabbalah is, all in all, the correction of our nature, that to the extent we correct ourselves, we feel the upper force, we discover the upper world, we penetrate in it, we rise above our life. Just like it's written, we attain freedom of the angel of death. Because we stop feeling ourselves as being part of the body, just like we spoke about it yesterday. We rise above this body, this living body, to the degree of the general nature. As we said, just like I don't feel that I cut my hair or click my nails, because I'm living, I'm alive, and my hair and my nails are growing like vegetative, so I don't feel any loss from the degree of animate to the degree of vegetative. So similarly, if I rise to a higher degree, from the degree of animate to the degree of speaking, and the human level, the speaking level, is not us. That is the level of the Creator, similar to the Creator, to the light. Then, by rising to that level, I don't feel any loss from my current life. That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah is a cure against death. And hopefully we'll come to this and we'll begin to feel it, just like we spoke about it yesterday and now. And it all depends on our inner efforts. So let's try and be connected in our inner points, let's value this very unique state. Everything that's happening in the world, it happens by nature, driving us towards these different states and situations, either according to the development of the ego, or according to our development from the point in the heart. And this point is from a different world. Let's say this is my heart. They even brought me different colors. Let's see what color this is. Okay, this is it. Good. Something orange. So when we draw this, these are two different forces. This is the spiritual nature. And this is the corporeal nature here below. That's our nature. So there are two things within us, in each and every one who is here. Otherwise, he would not have come. We need to understand, just as Bala Sulam writes in the introduction to the study of the 10th Sefirot, item 4, he says, the Creator brings a person to a point of choice, meaning he puts him there, he positions him there with his ego, with his heart, which is entirely black. Food, sex, family, money, honor, power, knowledge. And he brings him to a state that he's capable of becoming a person in a balanced state between them. Here is the ego. And here is the point in the heart. That is the degree of Bina. And here is the degree of Malchut. And where in between, And there we need to decide where we are. It's written that a person must always see himself, not here nor there, but exactly in between, at every moment. And if at each and every moment we'll feel ourselves that way, and then we will rise from one state to the next. With the frequency that we will constantly feel ourselves in this state that we decide, and we decide in favor of the point in the heart, in favor of connection, that is what it means that we make a decision and remake it and again. And when we gather together, we become included of one another. If I do a certain action and others do the same actions as well, or other actions, it all connects to me. And if I were alone, I would never complete the job. But because the Creator arranged it so, that He divided that great will to receive that He created to many, many pieces. And every piece does its own work. By that, He adds it on to everyone. So if we are, say, 7 billion pieces, each one will do during these days, say, 100 different actions. We are, say, 500 people here. Let's say we do 100 actions. What is 500 by 100? There's no computer here, right? Okay, so 50,000. That is, that each one does 50,000 actions. That's what it's considered, that every single person does that. Because we're together. But besides us here, there are a few of our friends, many of our friends, all over the world. They're now with us. Maybe we can see them later. I don't know if it's possible. For all you internet viewers, you can see them on screen now. And before I came here, I got regards from Moscow, St. Petersburg, Israel, Europe, Germany. Can you see? All over the place. Look how many people in every place. Colombia. Also in Georgia. Donetsk, Tbilisi, Chile, Odessa, Beersheba, Haifa, all these are the Israeli groups, and many, many more. Today, it's a vast amount of people. I have to talk about this in the beginning of the convention, because if we will use these 3 days correctly, these 3 days we have, we will jump a degree that it's possible that we will realize this law of I've exerted and I have found. It can happen. And it all depends on us. We can see how many people are with us, and if each one will be included with the others, then of course this intensity will be sufficient. We've worked very hard on the connection between us, on this knowledge, on the study, on preparation for it. Over the past year, we've talked about it constantly. We, together, together. Only there, in the connection between us, the spiritual world can be discovered. So hopefully we will be able to realize this. Do you want to add something? No. Okay, he thinks there is nothing to add. So let's start with questions. There are two microphones. Whatever you want to ask, you can ask. Everyone's asleep. Please, yes.
Hello, welcome, and hello, Sri Lanka. First of all, I really want to thank you for some way in your life, choosing to dedicate your life to this wisdom.
I didn't choose to do this. I'm like you. I came out of lack of satisfaction of my own life, that I was searching where is the most important thing in life. And that's how I came. I went to science. I tried finding myself here or there until I came to this. It's not me. So you should be grateful always to the Creator. I don't feel myself how should I put this? If not for the people, I don't feel myself as the realizer, as the... If not for people who use me to enter spirituality. It's like a person having no children. If you won't attain something, then everything I've done, it's worthless. So, do me a favor.
In that regard, I have a question, and it's in the world we live in the world we perceive, there are such things as too much. Okay. But is there such a thing that worry too much, concern too much, care too much from within?
האם ייתכן מצב, או האם יש דבר כזה של שאתה דואג יותר מדי, שאתה חרד יותר מדי כלפי המטרה?
בעולם שלנו באמת יש...
In our world, there is really... Well, there is almost no moment that a person can feel, you know, just like in that I want something to stop and never continue. However, in the spiritual world, every moment is like that. Because there everything is according to the compatibility of the light and the kli and the vessel. And every sensation, even the tiniest sensation, is the sensation of perfection. That there is balance between the kli, the vessel, and the light. There is always the sensation that I cannot be better off than I am currently. And then a great deficiency has to be revealed in order to awaken the person, to shake him up, and in order to force him, to compel him to rise onwards. And therefore, as Rabbi Shimon's students were talking about, that when they come to study, they feel that they begin to hate each other again. And they then need to work on themselves again. Meaning, if in our world we never feel complete satisfaction, then in the spiritual world we always feel complete satisfaction. And even when rising from one degree to the next, we rise from good to better. Okay? No, it's not enough.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that was the answer to what I asked.
אני מבינה את מה שאת אומרת, אני לא חושבת שזאת הייתה תשובה לשאלה ששאלתי.
It's because what I'm asked, it's not what we do to each other, what we do in outside, giving or whatever we do, which everyone sees what we do. But is there something like concerning, worry, be afraid, and care about others too much from within? Not what you do outside, but from within.
שאלה לא לגמרי ברורה, אבל בעיקרון, לא כלפי מה שאנחנו עושים בחוץ, כלפי מה שרואים, אלא הדאגה הפנימית הזאת כלפי האחרים.
עוד פעם.
It's true that you're concerned about others. It's true that you're in concern for others on the one hand. But on the other hand, you're in contact with the upper force. And that is why it's not that you're suffering for the entire world and you're in anxiety for the entire world, to the extent that you discover that it is all eternal and whole, then all you're concerned with is for them to feel that same sensation, and not what is really happening with them. You rise in your concern from the corporeal level, the beastly, the bodily level, to the spiritual level. And that is why, in addition to the anxiety and fear you have, it gives you perfection. And these two things are in balance. You see them in balance, in perfection. But only they don't feel it. And you want to complete, to complement that sensation of theirs. Yes, please.
My microphone, Shelo.
Bonjour Rav. Donc je voulais te remercier pour excuse me. is not translation. I wanted to thank you for everything you are doing and for this opportunity you give us to be here.
רציתי להודות לך על כל מה שאתה עושה ועל ההזדמנות הזאת שאתה נמצא כאן יחד איתנו.
תודה, אני מודה לך גם כן שהגעת מרחוק.
Thank you, I'm also very grateful for you from coming from so far.
Two questions.
יש לי שתי שאלות.
My first question is about my son who is 3 years. We were talking about Kabbalah.
שאלתי הראשונה היא בנוגע לבני, הוא בן 3, כאשר אנחנו מדברים על חוכמת הקבלה.
אני לא שומע כלום ממה שאתה מתרגם. למה זה שם או לא כאן, אני לא יודע.
יש לי שתי שאלות. שאלה הראשונה היא על הבן שלי, הוא בן 3.
Just translating the question.
And I was telling him that...
שמעת מה שהוא אומר? מה, בן? No. Again, where?
And I was telling him that everything is in, that everything is inside.
סיפרתי לו שהכל נמצא בתוכך.
And he asked me, is it in my body?
הוא שאל אותי, האם זה הגוף שלי?
And I couldn't answer.
ולא ידעתי איך להשיב על זה.
So what can I say to a, what we can we say? How can we explain it to a child that is inside?
استمرت وشال اين ذا نمتص بתוך הגוף שלי ولا يديت يخ لعنات له على ذا زمان احنا نقولين لاصبر ليلد على ذا شو ذا نمتص كل بתוכנו
اشور لانه
لدبر we are prohibited to speak about these things with children. We can start talking about the correct perception of reality with children, and very small portions from the age of 9 about perception of reality. All the rest you can talk about beforehand, because the inner and external perception of reality, they're in collision with one another, and they can make this conflict within a child. His brain hasn't developed enough to these two parts to hold them contradicting and connected together. Only from the age of 9 and upwards. Only then you can talk with them about perception of reality. You should ask us about every single thing we do. We are now collecting a lot of material about children's education. We have a very big department which talks about it. I hope the material is already in close to being published, at least once a week, even twice a week. I have conversations about it at least 3 hours a week. There is a conversation about this, and there are answers to all these questions. So it's very good to read it, and even better to ask.
One is how do I know that I love my friend?
שאלתי השנייה היא, כיצד אני יודע שאני אוהב את החבר?
When do I know that I've reached love with a friend? When I stop seeing his body completely. I feel that our emotions, meaning our hearts and our minds, are connected together simply. It happens, well, in the meantime you can maybe imagine this, but it happens in a very simple manner. And in this connection we begin to feel between us the presence of the Creator. If that's how it happens in the connection of the mind and the heart, and the Creator is between us, that is considered that I love Him. You can't have one without the other. Only the three of us together. The Creator, which is revealed between us, He is as a witness that we've truly reached connection.
Everyone. My question is, when we try to connect, do the women connect, the women's points connect to women points, and the men's points in the heart connect to the men points in the heart, or that's not even important for us to think about?
השאלה שלי זה, כאשר אנחנו מנסים להתחבר, האם הנקודות שבלב של אנשים מתחברות עם הנקודות של אנשים והנקודות של הגברים מתחברות עם הגברים, או שזה חסר חשיבות?
כל הנשמות מתחברות יחד.
All the souls unite, regardless of any difference. We are all one soul. Baal Sulam has an article about this. It's called One Soul. And he writes that in the world, all in all, we have one soul, one kli, one vessel. And within that soul, there is a male part and a female part. And both of them, in the connection between them, these two parts, then they make this connection, this synergy, that enables life. Just like in our world, a male and female give birth to their offspring, boys, girls. Then, from our common actions, then we give birth to either a male or a female, boy or girl, in spirituality. So it turns out that between us is the Creator. As it's written, man and woman, divinity lies between them. And the result is that the three of them connect together and they become as one. That is the next degree. So women have the same part as men do, and even more, because the woman is the one who has the desire, the deficiency, and she awakens and forces man to advance in this world, to go make a living, to sustain a family, to be responsible. And that's how it is in spirituality as well. That is why us men truly hope that the women will take this responsibility upon themselves, and that they will be active, and they will pressurize the men, because the desire comes from the nukva, from the female part. And the realization comes from the men. But without the deficiency from man, there is no realization on behalf of the man. So without the deficiency from the women, there's no realization on behalf of the man. So you really need to get organized to demand from the men the connection between them, to make it more practical, so that the connection between the men will bring the light, and it will bring it to the women's deficiency, to the women's desire. That's how we work together.
Bonjour. Ma question c'est comment je peux savoir que je ne suis pas écarté du chemin? Comment je vais avec ça à chaque moment en fait?
Hello Rav. My question is how can I know that I am on the path of the Kabbalah? How can I know that I am not outside?
שלום רב, השאלה שלי כיצד אני יכול לדעת שאני נמצא על הנתיב הנכון בחוכמת הקבלה ושלא סטיתי מן הדרך?
At each moment.
בכל רגע ורגע.
זה מה שדיברנו
כאן. That's what we spoke about over here. If I am on this scale and every time I choose and each time I have free choice and I must constantly go with a point in the heart in connection, through connection, and there is no other activity, other action besides constantly being in connection. We usually want to study, to do different actions, to engage in different things. We're prepared to do anything. We want to do it, but we constantly escape the connection. And I know about myself. Until I started hearing about it, a lot of time went by. I liked studying, I liked organizing the texts, I liked learning it systematically. I did everything, but everything to avoid connection. And the faster you begin to feel the necessity to do so, and you get used to, you really get used to being immersed in this observation, then the habit becomes as a second nature. I have to get myself used to it again and again and again to reach the point that I crave to feel the friend's internality, so that I won't look at their external forms, I don't see them even. Just like when we live in a family, we don't really see the faces of the people that are constantly with us. We feel their spirit, their character, their mood. It's the same here. I'm yearning to constantly feel their desires to that very same goal. That's what I want to connect to. I don't care about his body. I don't care about his character. Nothing. What does it matter to me? I care what it yearns to. And for men, it's most difficult. For women, it's easier. A woman doesn't look that much at the externality, the external form. And for us men, it's more difficult. That's why that's the place of our work.
This morning you mentioned that we need to see life from a different angle. I wanted
to ask you, which senses do we need and what other combination do we need in order to understand, live, and sense and learn from this life.
בוקר אמרת הרב שאנחנו צריכים להסתכל על החיים מפרספקטיבה אחרת. איזה עוד קומבינציות או צורה של הסתכלות אנחנו צריכים כדי לחוש, כדי לתפוס את החיים האלה בצורה אחרת?
עכשיו.
Now I can hear much better. I see that all the questions are the same. If we look at this world, our observation should be very pragmatic, very simple, in order to live. It's a waste to put in many more. A person does not take it with him, and I guarantee that everything you have, in addition to simple, regular, necessary life, will nevertheless escape from you. We've entered such the form of life in compatibility with nature, in balance with nature, that every little thing a person has that exceeds his necessity, he will just lose it. The law, this law of compatibility with nature, which is now being revealed, will work on us that way. And that's what it eventually will do. Not that I'm scaring something or anyone, I'm just saying that's how eventually it will happen. Nature, either through good or bad forces, will bring us to equivalence between us, that everyone will have equal. If we will do it nicely, properly, that will reach spirituality, and we will fulfill ourselves with goodness, spiritual and corporeal, then great. If we won't advance towards that, I'm talking about the generality of the world, the nature will do it differently. We have the examples already in front of us. And therefore, to the extent we will learn more, will be more included within our desires, we will come closer to that realization in a positive manner. And no one is telling us, the Kabbalah doesn't tell us that we have to throw all of our property away to live in a humble, modest manner. No, it tells us the opposite. You'll leave this life to a better life, spiritual. And then, the more you acquire spirituality, then automatically you leave in corporeality whatever you just need. You leave for yourself. You don't need to throw them. You don't need to scatter out your properties. The spiritual attainment, the spiritual fulfillment, will give you so much satisfaction that you won't even pay attention to these unnecessary things in your corporeal life. And that is actually the correct approach. But eventually, if we won't do that, if we won't advance and go towards spiritual fulfillment, then nature's balance, which must be realized, it will just remove any corporeal surplus from us and will remain empty-handed on both sides. So let's gain from both sides. Okay?
merci pour ça.
Good morning, Dr. Lyman. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jairon Guerrero. I come from Oslo, Norway. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to show my appreciation for the type of life that you are giving us.
ראשית הייתי רוצה להביע את הערכתי לסוג החיים שאתה מאפשר לנו.
איך?
הייתי רוצה להביע את הערכתי לסוג החיים או למה שאתה עושה עבורנו, למה שאתה מאפשר לנו לעשות ולהגיע אליו.
Thank
you. I feel like as an anthropologist who has explored all religions, all forms of belief systems, and I came to this wisdom, I feel like there is nothing better in this world.
אני ממש חקרתי את כל השיטות, את כל הדתות למיניהם, ואני הגעתי לחוכמה הזו, ואני מרגיש שאין דבר טוב מזה בעולם.
So I am very happy to see you now. I saw you in Berlin. I saw you in Israel. Now I'm here, and I cannot get enough of you and Kabbalah.
אז אני מאוד שמח לראות אותך כאן. אני ראיתי אותך בברלין, ראיתי אותך בישראל. עכשיו אני נמצא כאן, ואני ממש לא יכול לקבל מספיק ממך ומחוכמת הקבלה.
תודה.
Now is my question. As an anthropologist, as a social scientist, I thought that I love people. I really thought that I was researching because I love people.
כאנתרופולוג וכחוקר, אני ממש חשבתי שאני עושה את כל זה מתוך אהבה לאנשים, שאני חוקר בגלל שאני אוהב את האנשים.
But when I came to the wisdom of Kabbalah, I realized that I really didn't love them.
אבל כשהגעתי לחוכמת הקבלה, נוכחתי לדעת שאני לא באמת אוהב אותם.
And then I got a big problem.
ואם כך יש לי בעיה גדולה.
So when I am with a group of friends, it's easier to love them because even if I don't like them, I can see that they are studying Kabbalah.
That they're what? אז אם אני נמצא עם קבוצה של חברים, אז זה יותר קל לאהוב אותם, כי גם אם יש דברים שבהם אני לא אוהב, אני בכל זאת רואה שהם לומדים את חוכמת הקבלה.
So it is easier to love our friends here because they are studying Kabbalah, and even if I don't like them, I forgive them.
אז קל יותר לאהוב את החברים כאן כי הם לומדים חוכמת הקבלה ואפילו אם אני לא ממש אוהב אותם אני סולח להם.
But when I go to the world, to my university, to my work,
אבל כשאני יוצא אל העולם, אל האוניברסיטה שבה אני מלמד, אל העבודה שלי,
then it is very difficult to love them.
אז זה ממש קשה לאהוב אותם.
So now I want to ask you, how can I treat the people in the world?
אז שאלתי בעצם כיצד עליי להתייחס לאנשים שבעולם.
כעיקרון
we need to relate to everyone as parts of my own soul. That's what I should think, including the most wicked people in the world. They are outside of me in the world, because within me those desires, those qualities are not yet corrected. That is why I still need to relate to them on the outside, in externality. I have to relate to them patiently. And I need to understand that is the path, that is the way of correction. The time will come that they will also connect. The general soul, that is all in all one creature that was created, it has many parts. Important or not as important, just like in our body. Our corporeal body is built exactly according to that same image as this soul is. And also in the soul there is the body, the general desire, which is divided into many subsystems: brain, heart, liver, lungs, all these different kinds of inner important systems which are connected between them, between each other. The body cannot get by without one of these. There are systems which can be replaced artificially, but they have to be in the body. And there are systems that don't have to be in the body. The most important thing is flesh and bones. But they're not necessarily essential for existence. There are parts in the general soul which are most important, that is the brain and the heart, and there are others which are not as important but are still essential for life. The brain and the heart, they've already mainly been corrected from Adam until our times. In this whole chain of people, people that we study or hear about, we've come to a state of the general correction, that besides mind and heart, besides the brain and the heart, we are beginning to correct the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, all these important parts, but not as important as the mind and the heart, the brain, sorry, and the heart. We, meaning those who enter the wisdom of Kabbalah, we belong to these parts. And all the rest of humanity belongs to, let's call it, the flesh and bones, the edges. They aren't necessary for the existence of the body, but they're part of this one soul. And therefore, that's how we need to treat them. They, in fact, are 90% of all the generality of the soul. they cannot act independently. They cannot feel a tendency towards spirituality, but they can only work according to the commandments that come through the brain and through the heart, that is, through us, through all the important organs, to them. And it doesn't lower the importance. Because if we talk about one general soul, with even if we lack one cell, then there is no perfection. And that is why everyone is important. Therefore, at the end of correction, everyone is as important as everyone else. That is the law of the general system. As we study in the analog systems, that cannot be entrance and exit, and in the circuit there cannot be any single flaw, because it won't give the right result. But during the period of correction, there is a difference. The most important parts are first corrected, and then, like that, in hierarchy, then the others are corrected accordingly. So don't expect the world to hear what we're doing or to understand it. Billions of people belong to the passive part. They'll join into it because they'll see that it can't be done otherwise. And that's how the world will be corrected. So they can be very, very smart, these people. Your colleagues in university, our great scientists, and people from entertainment and education, that they'll be completely blocked up towards spirituality. And that's how you should treat everyone. Only those who come to us, those who can hear. How did he hear about it? He himself doesn't know. Suddenly, through a different few reasons, he came to us. Only he is part of that inner system. And that's why we need to consider each and every one of us as one that the Creator has selected, and that we are part of the highly essential organs in the general body, that each and every one of us is truly a great asset. And the others might not be, even our kids. There were a lot of Kabbalists that had kids who didn't follow them. Each one has his own position, his own part in the system. It doesn't pass on through heritage. So, be patient. The most important part of the work is between us, to all those who join our world group. But only externally, we also have to act in order to advance them, to spread out our material all over the world, about the future of the world, about what can take place, about what solutions the wisdom of Kabbalah can give it. And we need to prepare them as much as possible. But the true care for them is that they'll feel that we are connected together, and as a result of that, they will feel from the inside, they'll feel that something is beginning to awaken in them. To awaken to what? To awaken with a desire to connect us, externally. They'll join in. They will want to take part, to be as servers, to be in it as much as possible. And also now there are those kind of people, and it's highly respectable that that's how they come, and they see their role as such. And the world, you see that we're given an example of how the world can change. Suddenly you see 500,000 people come somewhere to this central place in the capital city. They have a demonstration. They want a new government, and the government can just fall. Can you explain something like that? It's against logic. It is a very, very important example to what can happen to any government, to any government. And if it happens in the dictatorships, just like it happened there in North Africa and in Asia, then even more so it can happen in Europe or in America. It seems to us that it cannot happen, but it's simply within our nature. And this new means for social change is being discovered. And we're going to see great turbulences in this field. We think, how can it be that people will change an egoistic dictatorship, let's say, or a consuming, let's say, government like in America? How will it be changed to a more equal society, to more equal distribution? Through the government, you can't do that. The government is responsible, is obligated to everyone who works below it, to all the clerks, to all its workers, is compelled to give it the lifestyle it guarantees. It's not able to change itself. It's not able to change its approach to life. But you can see 500,000 people come to the central square, and the whole country just falls. Not because of the force in them. Those same rulers in Africa, they have enough power and to just simply wipe all these people out just with a few bombs, and that's it. They're not able to do so because nature has changed. The society has changed. The times have changed. There are things that you just can't do anymore. But you yourself don't know why, but that's how it happens. Therefore, there are still great changes ahead of us.
Have I told you lately that I love you?
Haim amarti lecha lachrona she'ani ohev otcha.
Saper ot.
I love you.
We
love you.
Toda.
Okay, with that we'll conclude, right? I think we're out of time, yes? they promised that we're going to have another session afterwards, so now let's have a song. Yes, what? Another question? And women? Yes, from the women it's okay. Two? Well, okay.
Shalom Rav, bati b'miyuchad v'Yisrael lishol otcha she'ela.
Hello Rav, I came all the way from Israel to ask you a question. So, I understand from you that the women's game in internality is similar between women and between men. There's one point which yearns for the others, for the goal. Now, in externality, we're supposed to push the men to do so, to connect. Now, I once heard you say that the right attitude of a mother to her children is that she gives them good attitude only towards correction.
Okay, the question is, men and women, it's the same, but externally we play it a bit differently. And I heard you give this example that when kids come to their mother, that if they come each separately, then they get nothing. But if both of them come together to solve the problem, then she treats them differently.
You should also pressure the men to do so. So yeah, that's my question. Can we use that also towards the men, not only towards our children? You should treat the men like you treat children. Okay, so we can use it. Use what? Love? Extra love. Meaning extra love when they connect and simple, cold behavior when they don't connect. If they don't connect, pressure them. Pressure them. Yes. No doubt. Again, it's written, as a result of righteous women, they came out of Egypt. Exiting of Egypt is exiting from this world to the spiritual world. Only thanks to women, we learn raising of man is from the Malchut. All the deficiencies are from the Malchut. All that comes from the women. It all starts from the woman. If women wouldn't want it, there would be no family, there'd be no continuation to the generation, there'd be nothing. The force which advances humanity is the female force. That she wants to give birth, she wants to continue life. And the male, he only is the realizing force. But it's only on the condition that there is a deficiency, a will. You understand this, you can learn this simply from nature. And this is something necessary that we definitely need, the women's desire, the women's deficiency. When new students came to learn with Rabash and they got married, he immediately organized a women's group, and once a week they gathered together and they read an article and they spoke about it, and he was very, very concerned to know how they understand it and what's going on there. It's a must. There must be a strong women's organization so that this organization will have the force to truly demand from the men the spiritual realization that they need. But it's not in screaming and fighting, but it's through the desire within their hearts. And then we will feel in the meantime, we don't really feel it. That is, the women don't know, aren't capable of connecting amongst them. That's on behalf of nature. Every woman is something separate. But in order to pressure men, and only for that reason, then from nature they can connect. And they can be one large deficiency, one large will. And we need that desire. There's another question? Your friend, or it's already okay?
Dear Ralph, I would like to thank you very much for the work you're putting into the greatest thing a person can feel.
רב יקר, הייתי רוצה להודות לך על כל המאמץ והגיעה שאתה משקיע בדבר המופלא ביותר שהאדם יכול להרגיש.
I felt the point in the heart 8 months ago, and now I'm here for the first time all the way from Panama, and it feels absolutely magical. Thank you so much.
לפני כ-8 חודשים הרגשתי לראשונה את הנקודה שבלב, ועכשיו הגעתי לכאן, הישר מפנמה, וההרגשה היא פשוט מופלאה.
One of the egoistic passions I have is singing, making music and connect people through music. My question is, can a woman spread Kabbalah to the outer world through music? Or are men the only ones that can do that? And if men are the only ones, why? And if you say yes, women can spread the world to the outer, spread the music to the outer world, what is the best way to do that? And do men need to be involved in spreading the process of Kabbalah through music?
Okay, אז אחת התשוקות האגואיסטיות שלי זה ליצור ולעשות מוזיקה ולשיר. והשאלה שלי זה קודם כל האם נשים יכולות להפיץ את חוכמת הקבלה בדרך הזאת או רק גברים, ואם כן, אם הן כן יכולות לעשות, אז מה הדרך הטובה ביותר לעשות את זה? זה א', וב', כיצד על הגברים להפיץ את חוכמת הקבלה בצורה הטובה ביותר דרך המוזיקה?
עד כמה שהעולם יותר יתקדם,
the more the world will advance, we will see less difference between men and between women. We see that's how it is in the nature of the world. But I'm talking about spirituality, the more we advance. Because we're getting closer and closer to reaching connection. Why did suddenly in the 20th century did there start to be equality between men and women? Because in nature we have to connect. And in our connection we're equals. Therefore in the meantime it's happening on the corporeal level until we will begin to rise to a spiritual level. We only need to keep the uniqueness of men and of women. We shouldn't be confused, we shouldn't see them as equals, as the same, that is. But we should see the uniqueness in each and every one of them. And if we won't see that, we won't be able to make the right connection. Nature is divided to two species in a very, very sharp manner. And we mustn't blur out these differences. But we need to find the right connection according to how the wisdom of Kabbalah explains it. In our regular life, we don't understand why we should do it, and that's why women, to such an extent, have done so many silly things, that the family is being ruined and everything just is going in every direction. We're slowly beginning to learn from all these stupidities by receiving blows. But in spirituality, we have a clear method. A woman's desire must push the men. A woman is part of all the forms of study, of all the forms of dissemination, and especially in dissemination, women are even better than men, because dissemination is like giving birth. It's like expansion, spreading, and that relates even more so to the women. The men might be able to realize and implement it better, but the woman prepares it, just like the woman prepares everything, and the man goes out to hunt in the forest to discover continents and so on. But he does all of that in order to bring women and start new life there. Therefore, there must be mutual participation in dissemination. I can't imagine how today we can exist, we can disseminate ourselves without women. You're new, right? But I recognize many women here that with them I work, and they help me much more than the men help me. I count on the women much more than I count on the men. It's a much more loyal force, a more consistent force, devoted. It is... there is none like it. Wherever I see that there are women, I have a certain sense of calmness that there, it will all work out. If I see men there, then that's how it is. But it's not for better or for worse. They have to complete each other, because men constantly are searching something new. That's why it's not constant or consistent. But the woman is more stable. But that prevents her from having individual progress, but by connecting together, that's how we can work.
As a woman, she can perform, because all I see, the musicians, are only men.
אז את אומרת שגם אישה יכולה לעלות על הבמה ולהופיע, כיוון שכל המישה על הבמה, אני רואה שזה רק גברים.
I want to push forward.
אני רוצה לדחוף ככה את כל העניינים, ולפרוץ.
את הכנת לנו משהו?
Now? Okay. Very early, so please apologies. And let my clay has come along, my lonely days are over, and life is like a song, oh yeah. At last, the stars above the blue, my lonely days are over, and life is like a song. Oh, we can make it. Oh, we, all of us people, we can reach the upper worlds. Yeah. Thank you.
I think you got everyone more excited than from this whole lecture, this whole lesson. So thank you. Let's not forget our groups all over the world, that they're with us in their mind, in their heart. They're listening to us. They can see us. It's not that they're just sitting there. They're with us in all the mirror conventions, everywhere, doing exactly what we're doing here. And there is no place in spirituality, there's no distance, so let's feel them together with us here, with us now. Now let's all sing together with you.
Okay, so we have a lot of important announcements. The most important announcement that has immediate concern to everybody is the organizers. when they heard the disappointment, they heard hunger pangs, have an organized breakfast for everybody. So there will be breakfast this morning. And big thank to the organizers. Okay, there are a couple other things everybody needs to know about. Don't leave yet. Bar the doors. Monday, we have a very big event in Toronto. We're going to have a big lecture there with Rav, and today there's going to be a huge email blast. So we need everybody, not only here, but throughout the world, Klee, to be thinking about our friends in Toronto and the event on Monday for Rav's lecture. Today, the email blast is going out, so the group is asking for thoughts and support. At 9:45, everybody who's participating in the opening ceremony, come here. Now, let me just explain the breakfast procedure. We're going to open up the doors. There's a buffet. There are tables in the back.
And we decided to write a song.
Go get your stuff.
We were three friends.
Bring it in here. And we're going to have a regular meal with L'chaim's and everything. So it's a big event.
So we called a few friends.
Okay, friends. L'chaim b'nei Baruch.
And this is really what came out.
שרק אנחנו הגורמים להכל כל הרע שמתגלה עכשיו באדם פשוט צינת חינם שולטת בעולם מתי נבין שלא כדאי כך להמשיך דחוף דחוף לצאת מחושך ואם נצא להקשיב כוונה היא המפתח היחיד לכניסה להשתנות מהר מהר לתכונת ההשפעה זה No, you suffer when you feel no wins. We humans fell in quicksand of sorrow and sin. Today's news, painful life, global strife. A loving embrace can help overcome a stormy night. Right, we're the same inside, now let's inquire how we can unite above selfish desire. Finding greatness within requires inner wisdom. Till then, we'll fall through the cracks of the system. Our egoism got the world tipping. Time we step in, brand of the prison. Not the wise come. Not the factor, the great and the small.